Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, how voters of faith, all faiths, see the political moment that we're in. But first, we're getting more reaction on the U.S. Supreme Court decision today upholding President Trump's travel ban. The decision was 5-4 with the court's conservatives in the majority. Chief Justice Roberts wrote the decision. And he wrote in part, the proclamation is expressly premised on legitimate purposes, preventing entry of nationals who cannot be adequately vetted and inducing other nations to improve their practices. Congressman Keith Ellison of Minnesota had something to say about the countries that are on that list and the decision. Here he is.
It is not within the president's authority to discriminate on the basis of religion. It simply isn't. And the fact that he slapped a few pieces of language on there and threw in a few other countries as an afterthought doesn't correct the fundamental and original flaw.
We're turning now to Jaylani Hussain. He's executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in Minnesota. They have a press conference in a few minutes. So, Jaylani, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
What do you think about what Congressman Ellison said, acknowledging that this is the third version of the executive order that bans some people from coming into the United States?
The congressman is quite right. The idea here is that President Trump, when he was running for the office, he clearly said that he plans to stop Muslims from coming into the United States. And not long before he was in office, one of these first orders that he produced was this Muslim ban. So it is really an unfortunate day. You know, previously America had a race-based immigration system, and this decision formally brings the discrimination back into our system. This is definitely not the first time the Supreme Court has got a case wrong. We know in the Dred Scott case, the Supreme Court ruled that slaves are not people, they're property. In the Korematsu case, the Supreme Court ruled that Japanese American could be forced into concentration camps. So I think today is an unfortunate day, but it's a great day also for our communities to rally together and recognize that we have to challenge this unconstitutional ban. We have to elect leaders who are going to hold both the executive branch of our government as well as the judicial branch.
I want to come back to what you said about the statements that the president made during the campaign. This is something that I talked about with John Radson at 9 o'clock. Chief Justice Roberts actually addressed that in the decision, and he wrote, "The issue before us is not whether to denounce the statements. It is instead the significance of those statements in reviewing a presidential directive neutral on its face, addressing a matter within the core of executive responsibility." He's saying we couldn't let what the president was calling this and saying about it in the campaign override our assessment of whether the president has this capability to, with national security in mind, to decide that some people are not going to be permitted into the United States. To that, you would say what?
I would say it'd be flat wrong. The courts have historically looked in the past, in other cases, in statements made by officials as justifications for their ruling. And in this one, we know for sure two things happened. As soon as President Trump made those statements, and when he enacted the executive order, we saw a clear change in the United States. We saw for the first time a serious uptick in anti-Muslim incidents across this country. And it was clearly based on the language that was made. And today, here in Minnesota, we have politicians who are echoing the same type of speech, particularly here in Minnesota, focusing on immigration and immigrants, saying that we have to stop immigration and immigrants to Minnesota. which I think is a code word for stopping Muslims from coming into the state of Minnesota.
I know that you'll acknowledge that during President Obama's administration, there was a higher standard for the entry for some people into the country. And again, President Obama was apparently making those decisions on an issue of national security. Let's say you separate what Trump was saying about this in the campaign. Do you think that it is right for a president to look around the world and say there are some countries that may send people to the United States who are at higher risk than others? Is that a fair assessment of a president, given the fact that President Obama did it too, short of a ban, but applying a standard?
I think first we have to recognize what has been happening in this country. You know, the immigration system has been really abysmal in this country, and it's been unfairly targeted those who are not white in this country, including the wife of the president, who has come into this country through a loophole to a certain extent. But if you look at a little bit of who really this impacted, it impacted people who had the most aggressive and most thorough investigation and vetting process that exists out there. The ban didn't stop those who had the weakest vetting process. It stopped those who had the most extreme vetting process.
Countries like Iran, Libya.
Absolutely. And so we already had these policies. We've been making these policies under different administration. But I think President Trump really benefited from the Islamophobic feelings and tendencies that exist in our nation and used it as a campaign promise to stop Muslims from coming in this country. And he started by, with this ban. And we believe now with this emboldened, two things will happen. One, we are expecting an increase of attacks against our community because it will only further and fuel those who see this as a right of way of attacking Muslims. And secondly, we believe other countries are going to be added, and they're going to be Muslim countries. And so this is definitely going to impact our community greatly. However, I am very optimistic and very happy to see when this order came out and since then that the majority of Americans are pushing back against this unconstitutional policy, whether if the court or the executive branch agree together. And this is not who we are. You know, we are a nation that has benefited and has really championed this idea of freedom of religion. And this was at the core heart of this policy. And the Supreme Court to just blindly ignore that was extremely disappointing. But again, this is what happens when individuals are put on the Supreme Court who, for now, looks like appearing to play in favor of the president who put them in that office.
You said a moment ago that one of the things that you're going to do at the press conference is call for Minnesotans to rally together. And I think you mentioned the electoral process. How do the two fit?
So we all know that the Congress can enact laws. So we want Minnesotans and Americans across this nation to think very hardly about the 2018 election and who they put in office who are going to uphold our Constitution and that our Constitution works for all people, and particularly on this core issue that this nation was founded on, of freedom of religion. So today we have a rally tonight downtown Minneapolis at 6 p.m. We encourage anybody who is frustrated and wants to speak up on this issue to show up. We plan to have more events as we move forward.
I think you would recognize that it may be an uphill battle. And I say that because at the moment, the president enjoys a 90% polled level of support among Republicans. Whatever he's doing, he seems to be satisfying Republican voters. I don't know if that's a barrier in Minnesota, but it might be to making significant changes to Congress. Yes.
Yeah, but I think the nation, we had a large number of people that did not vote in the 2016 election, both Republicans and Democrats, and I think people are waking up to the fact that you cannot stay away on election night, that you have to show up and you have to participate in this participatory democracy. And so And we have a midterm election that is going to be a critical election. And so, you know, Congress and the Senate are, crucial role. They play a crucial role in addressing these issues. And we need to have folks that are going to be able to stand up and to do the right thing. However, I think, you know, our community sees, we've seen a tremendous support from individuals across the state and across the nation who have come forward immediately after the Trump ban went into effect and went to the airports and showed their concern and their support with the Muslim community. And we're going to build on those allies, and we're going to build our community. Our community is very resilient. We've been coming under attack against Islamophobes, whether it's the bombing of our mosque in Bloomington this past year, the number of incidents that have happened, the desecration that happened this week at the Abu Bakr Islamic Center in Rochester. You know, we are dealing with these things, and we are becoming stronger as a community, and we have a strong ally network that we're calling out today to show up and to be counted and to lend their voice against this unconstitutional policy. You know, this case was an opportunity for the Supreme Court to get the Korematsu case correct. This idea
again, that was
of
the Japanese
national
internment cases.
Yeah, this is the Japanese and Japanese American incarceration, and that's what a lot of the experts were looking at as a possibility that the court would correct that case through this this case particularly. However, we expected a similar outcome that we are facing today. But we are. I think today's a sad day for the court, but also an opportunity to rally and organize for our communities. And I think that's where we're going to take our conversation next to folks on the street, and most importantly, as we head to the 2018 election, to our leaders in Congress and in the Senate.
I appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks much.
Thank you for having me.
Jelani Hussein is the executive director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Minnesota. One more note here, if you haven't had a chance to read specifics from the decision of the court, Justice Sotomayor wrote the dissent, and she said, "The United States of America is a nation built upon the promise of religious liberty. Our founders honored that core promise by embedding the principle of religious neutrality in the First Amendment."
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at @KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.